I think it's because of the feeling that I got in being part of that community. Because when I started that, my son was really young. I had just come back to work. And I needed that. I needed the support of other women to find out there were other women who were struggling with being a parent and doing their jobs. And I could just see how much community made you stronger.
One, two.
Welcome to the Bold Moves How Did You Know podcast, a podcast for the naturally curious who want to define their own path. I'm your host, Kristen Rocco, and here I'm sharing bold move stories that propelled my guests from curiosity to action. And in doing so, they've defined a path that is purposeful to them. Through these stories, I hope you'll be inspired to pursue your boldest dreams. Today, Paulina Ravinsky is here with me. She's the founder of Hype HQ, a dynamic platform where women join forces to magnify each other's compliments. Leveraging her background as a leader and software engineer for iconic brands like, maybe you've heard of them, Disney, ABC, ESPN, and Rosetta Stone. Paulina's passion for empowering women in tech communities ignited the spark for Hype HQ. Today, she's dedicated to fostering a vibrant ecosystem where women unlock new opportunities, build meaningful connections, and celebrate collective triumphs. Beyond her role as founder, Paulina is a mentor, a proud mom, an avid traveler, and she's walking the talk of Hype HQ's mission every day. Hello, Paulina. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Kristen. So great to be here. I am just really thrilled. I love your podcast, so I'm so happy to be here.
I would love to learn more about your background and hear why you left your prior career in software engineering to move ahead in your new role as founder of Hype HQ.
Yeah, it's been quite a path. When I started actually as a software engineer, I didn't have a degree, right? I don't have a degree in computer science. And it was just something that it was the timing, you know, the internet boom was happening. And I got in there. And the reason that I mention all that is because that was like my first time being in a place where I honestly didn't really know what I was doing. And that's just been a theme. And I think that that comes back to the bold moves, that idea of like, I can not know what I'm doing and yet still somehow pull it out. So so I started, before that, I got a degree in political science. I traveled. I did all these random things that had nothing to do with tech. And then just out of my curiosity, you know, I took some classes and was lucky enough to get hired. And from there on, it was just one challenge after another. And this just really trying to learn as I go and always that sense of like, okay, I'm uncomfortable, but this is just my reality. And I think over time that really sunk in and became my normal.
Well, that's so interesting. It's cool because I think a lot of people who make bold moves have experienced making them before, like several times over again, right? They become accustomed to the uncomfortability of it. What was it about software engineering that attracted you, or maybe what was it about politics that detracted you from continuing on in that direction?
You mentioned in the intro that you read that I'm an avid traveler. And so I think early on, I was constantly thinking like, what can I do for my livelihood where I'll be traveling a lot? And this is why I had this, you know, not very well thought out idea that I was going to work for the State Department. Because the State Department, they send you wherever. You just go wherever you're sent and you start out working, you know, in some embassy wherever, and you work your way up. I mean, it's a very hierarchical type of place. Knowing myself now, I would have never thrived in that kind of environment. But to me, the top thing was like, okay, I'll be traveling. Well, when I realized, I actually flunked the State Department test, so that turned out to be a blessing. But then later, I went on with, again, the same mission that I just wanted to travel. I was like, maybe I'll work in a travel agency. So again, completely these random moves that I was doing. I think I'm really very much, I've come to accept this about, and actually celebrate this about myself. I shouldn't just say accept that I'm really an explorer, you know, and I'm not a person who is like, in 5 years, I'm going to do this. And I've never been that person. It's just like, where's the resonance? Like, what's pulling me in a certain direction? And I just follow that. And so when it came to technology, I think it was just pure curiosity. And these other things I've tried, it was out of a lack of really knowing myself. And I didn't realize I really needed, like, I'm a problem solver. That's really my top competency. I've done that Clifton assessment.
Top competency. Me too.
Okay, what's yours? You know what your top one is?
I don't remember my top one, but I remember the top five, which strategic, maximizer, focus, significance, and one other that I can't remember now. But yes, I think that is so helpful in putting a name to like what you feel like your skill sets are. But yeah, how did it matter to you when you found that out?
Well, I didn't actually find it out until much later. But where I was when I was in that travel career, I just really recognized that I needed mental challenge, and I just really wasn't getting it there. In my 20s, I had done so much flitting around and learning, and I really had that sense of, I need to get my act together, and I need to find something that's actually going to feel like this is what I want to be doing day to day. And then poof, there was, you know, technology. So I basically started doing web design, you know, very early days, so curious. And there was a time where there weren't that many people who had that expertise at all. I mean, we're talking about like the late 90s. People were just getting snapped up with, you know, I think I had three community college courses under my belt, and they were like, you're hired. And so,
really?
Yeah. Wow. It was just that timing, you know, and so I just dove in and just took on one challenge after another. Then I became really, you know, I did like back-end Java development, which was something I never saw myself doing prior to that. And even more so, the next thing that came is that I had my managers telling me, like, you need to go into leadership. You need to go into, you know, both people management and setting direction. And again, I was just like, me? Really? And one more moment of where I look back and I think it's so funny that I really, really didn't know myself, but because that came very naturally to me. And so after some years of being a software engineer, I became a manager and then a senior manager and so on. My last position was director of software engineering. So I would have never in a million years when I started imagined that I would be in that place. And so that was my journey with tech. Wow. And yeah.
I love how you let curiosity guide your decision making. And it's kind of funny when I think about it, because you said you didn't know yourself, and yet you were still kind of tapping into the curiosity to, I would assume, help you get more information about who you are. What do you think is the difference between those days where you said, I don't know myself, to now where I'm assuming you know yourself very well? What was the difference maker?
Yeah, I think you bring up such a great point, because curiosity has 1000% always been one of my top values and always something that's drawn me to the next thing. But I think what I came to realize at some point is that any big decision that I made, I was making 1000% with my gut. And I didn't, you know, at some point I was like, wait a minute, when I go to a restaurant, I can take, you know, 15 minutes trying to figure out if I should order this entree or that entree. But when it's time for a big decision, I'm just like, yes, that. And I thought, like, why is that? And then I came to really see how much that gut feeling never, ever, ever steered me wrong. And so I think that was part of knowing myself, was knowing that, I have that gut feeling, I have those instincts, and I can trust them every single time.
Oh, that's so good. Paulina, I'm thumbing through, let's just say it, some of my prior episodes, because I'm compiling a keynote talk for the Bold Moves recipe. And there's a quote by one of my guests, or she said, right? And now it's so quotable to me. I think about it all the time. But her name is Julie Randall. She's the author of Patient 71. And she got, unfortunately, diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic cancer. And she beat the cancer. But her story is very inspiring and really makes you think about, you know, doing work that matters and following what it is that your gut is saying. So the quote that she said that always comes to me, she said, "If you have a recurring desire, you are capable of it. I don't believe you get the desire if you're not capable of it." So I love that because it's exactly what you're saying, which is your gut has never led you in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my gosh, how powerful is that to know that our gut and our inner knowing is only guiding us on our true authentic path. And I think that's so empowering, but sometimes people don't pay attention enough, right?
Yeah. There's scientific research about this, that it really just has to do with your subconscious. And I think some book I read likens it to, like, well, I don't know why they say a guy. In my case, I'm sure it's a woman behind the door, just processing information and teeing up information for you without any awareness. And so it's not as woo-woo as saying gut, even though I that's how I think about it. It really is something that's collating information on a level that we don't have access to.
Oh, I love it. What was the catalyst for your bold move to HypeHQ? Take us into that moment. Like, why leave software engineering behind? You've grown into this director role. You're managing people. I'm sure your career is successful by any stretch of the imagination, but it sounds like your gut was saying something else. Tell us about that.
Yeah. And definitely, I mean, the success was far beyond anything I had imagined, because I really was thinking small. This is part of what's changed for me more recently. I was thinking very small when I started out. And then over time, I thought bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. But what happened was probably about 5 years before I left, I started this women in tech community at where I worked at Disney. And, you know, before that, there was this moment of, oh, hey, someone organized an event for women. Wow, that was so great. I wish they would do it again. This was literally how I would think, like, wouldn't it be great if that woman did it again? And then she wasn't doing it. Time was going by. And I was still thinking, wouldn't it be great if she did it? And then at some point, I was just like, what? Just do it. Why don't I do it? And I don't know why that was a revelation to me, but when I went in and I started doing that, I discovered that I loved that work. It was very soon after that it eclipsed my day job. I mean, doing this was so much more fulfilling, so much more fulfilling, so much more interesting to me. I always made time for it. You know, I had a lot of responsibilities, and it was a volunteer position. And I would always, you know, be planning these events and getting people together. And every time someone came to me and said, God, that event was so great. I got so much out of it. Thank you so much. Yeah. You know, this community means so much to me. It was like, oh, there was nothing that felt as good as that. And so over time, I had this information, right? That information was in my consciousness. It wasn't even in my subconscious. Like, I really love doing this. And yet I still was like, okay, my day job. But what happened is that during the pandemic, I think so many of us went through a reevaluating of what's really here, right? Yeah. What is the meaning for me? Like, what should I be doing in this world that's we don't have control of, that sometimes can really blow up in our faces without us being able to do anything? And I really came to realize that what I was doing, variety of reasons, there's, you know, a lot of unconscious bias in tech, a lot of gender issues. I really came to realize that I was putting my energy in a place that didn't feel fulfilling to me. And really, as soon as I had that true realization of, what am I doing? I'm putting my life's energy into something that isn't aligned with me. It was like, I just had to act. It was just, you know, that's it. Like, you know this now, it's in your conscious, you must act. And there really was the final straw was having a manager that was a real piece of work. And so I think after we had kind of a contentious conversation, I was like, I'm done. And I just waited for my bonus to get paid out. And as soon as it was direct deposit in my account, I was done. I typed up my resignation letter. I had no plan. And I was like, I'm done. So that's how it happened.
Thank you for sharing your story. That is so fascinating. I want to hit on something you said, which was, I was successful. What did success mean to you in the sense of your career as a software engineer? And how has that changed now that you're onto HypeHQ?
I love that you're bringing that up because this is something that I was just working through this idea for something I'm working on. And, you know, I was reflecting back that I was born in Russia and in Soviet Russia. And so we really were in this, you know, it was not a safe place to be. Like, you knew there was a lot of dangers, a lot of restrictions, but our top values were really about, you know, achievement, community, and courage were really huge, huge, huge for me. And so achievement and, you know, you're saying success in my head, those are the two things that, you know, they were the same word. But what it was really the traditional idea, right? I had the immigrant parents who were like, you know, get in there and make your money and get that title and do all that. So it was a very traditional definition of success. And I was definitely hitting that. But now when I think about the word success, it's, why is it even success if it doesn't feel like it fills you up, you know, that it isn't your purpose? I don't even know why I would consider it success, because all the money, all the titles aren't going to give you that the same sense as when you're living your purpose.
I read a quote and it ran across my feed on Instagram. It said, success is having fun, or something to that effect. It was like that simple. I think it's just the bigger point. Like, let's expand what our version of success means. It's not just about achievement, right?
Exactly. And really, I think this is such a big conversation because we live in such an achievement culture. And I have a 15-year-old. So I also know that before I made this pivot, I was kind of doing that to him too. Like, we're raised like that. Like, here is what it looks like, what success, and push for that. And, you know, I had to reevaluate some things with him as well, because I recognized that I was pushing him away from really finding his own definition of success for himself.
What about this move to HypeHQ was uncomfortable?
Wow, it would be easier to answer what was comfortable because so much of it was uncomfortable. Well, so I mentioned I had no plan and I spent some time, you know, I started mentoring women entering tech. I started to experiment with coaching, with like some lessons. I thought about what jobs I might have. So all of that, it was like, nothing was quite right. And so I really was, well, besides the time that I had to do a corporate detox, I did a lot of exploring and like, I just was like, nothing is clicking. I really want that. I really want that thing to feel really aligned. And then only 9 months ago, I had this thought of like, wait a minute, this is what I want to build because I want something that creates impact for women. I really want each one of us to be able to like have a whole group of other women lifting us up and helping us create whatever our success is, right? If it's, you know, whatever it is that requires support from others, which is just about everything, that let's give that to each other, right? Like, that's exactly what I'm trying to create with HypeHQ. So I was like, hey, I guess I'm an entrepreneur now. Like, this is on. And I just dived in so deep and so hard. So the part of it that was comfortable was creating a product, because that's what I'd been doing in tech for years. So it was like, okay, define your, you know, minimal viable product, like iterate, build a team. So I quickly built a team to help me create the product. All of that was almost second nature. It was so exciting to be doing that for my own vision rather than following direction from someone else. But what was uncomfortable was literally everything else. I have zero experience with marketing. I know that's your background, so I really envy people who have those skills. I just was completely, and I still am. I'm learning, and I'm not in a position to outsource this yet, which I cannot wait till that moment. So everything around, from social media to marketing to anything sales related, like all of that was just completely new to me. And I just had to believe that I was capable of learning that. And I think when I look back to that kind of clueless person that I was when I first started tech and the amount of things that I learned, and I had to just believe like, well, if I can learn all that, I can learn other things, and why not? I can't say that I will never figure out marketing. It's going to take time, and I have to trust I can learn it.
Oh, I love that you said there was more discomfort than comfort. I think that's present in every bold move, no matter what it is. Like you've probably never tried it before. And so you literally don't see what's around the corner oftentimes. And so you're having to react without a ton of knowledge, right?
Yeah.
How do you have a process or anything, even informally, that has helped you get through those uncomfortable moments and situations? Like, I have to confront this, but I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, there is something that someone said to me. She said it casually, but it's really stuck with me. And she said, aren't you curious about what's going to happen? So to me, when I feel so overwhelmed and I just think, what's happening? And then that sense of like, well, I'm really curious how the story is going to end, like the story of what I'm doing. And so it kind of reignites a different part of my brain. Instead of going into an overwhelmed state, I go back to a more curious state of like, well, of course I'm curious. I mean, however uncomfortable it is, it's not like I'm going to leave this story. I'm not closing this book like halfway. I'm going to see how it ends. And I think that's really big. And then, I think to me, it's really about talking to people I trust and really trying to, I don't know, get advice, get input, get their learnings. I try really hard to talk to people who have complementary skills to mine to learn from them. And I know that's part of your recipe, and I couldn't agree with that more. It's very important.
I'm excited to get into that community building aspect of it. I mean, your whole vision with Hype HQ is to empower women in tech communities. You shared that story about the power of the community you had with the software engineering company and the Women in Tech group. But what other community groups have you been involved in, and why, when you think about it specifically, does community mean so much to you?
I think it's because of what the feeling that I got in being part of that community. Because when I started that, my son was really young. I had just come back to work, and I really had this like, I needed that. I needed the support of other women to find out there were other women who were struggling with being a parent and doing their jobs. And so I could just see how much community was that piece that made you somehow stronger, right? So that's that to me is really big. And I myself do join a lot of communities online that come across. I know we met through one as well. Really, there's three, even back with Women in Tech, there were always the three things. It was connection, inspiration, and tools. So those are the three things that even now, 10 years later, that I think about are the most important. The connection gives you that sense of strength, like others are here with me. The learning, learning from each other. And then the inspiration. Oh, you watch others, for example, making bold moves, and you're inspired to do the same. So it's really about those three elements for me.
I certainly hope that these conversations bring to light for listeners about how a powerful community can be when you are intentional about investing in community, in building your community, in offering your expertise, your skills, and just a friend, you know, be a friend to somebody, but it will return to you tenfold when you can do that. Have you learned any tips in general about relationship building? And then is there a difference between building relationships in person versus online? What might the differences be?
That's a really good question. During my tech career, around the time that I transitioned from being a software engineer to being a lead and then a manager, I realized that, again, completely not in a conscious way, I was really skilled at building relationships. I am an introvert at heart, but I am so curious about people. And so that, to me, when you're having real conversations and they're more meaningful, I just love them. And then that somehow I was really just doing that. And, you know, at the point that I was asked, like, you know, will you be a lead? Will you step into this other role? It was because all these people recognized me as someone who really built powerful and meaningful relationships. And so I stumbled on the fact that this was one of my really biggest skills. But to your point, the relationship piece is so key. I say this for my mentees as well. It's so key. If you go in and you're just sitting there doing your job, you're not building relationships with others in the company, you're never going to get as far. You're never going to get those opportunities. So you always need to be doing that in a corporate place, for me, in every aspect of my life. To me, the in-person came very naturally. Online takes a lot more work for me, but it's a similar concept, right? And I don't know if this is an introvert thing, but it takes so much more intentionality and a different level of intensity and presence for me to do it. Yeah.
I think to your point, what's maybe the most important aspect of building relationships with people online is showing up a lot, you know, just committing to being part of that community and engage with the community and offer your support when you can. And then I think all of a sudden you'll recognize people, people will recognize you, and then there's potential for it to become an offline friendship relationship as well. So it's different for sure, but I think you can get similar outcomes out of both in-person and the online relationship building.
I do think so. I think you can definitely get similar outcomes. It's a little bit more intentional and a little bit more focused on consistency. Like you can't, it's not going to happen by accident. In other words,
I want to ask more about HypeHQ. So you are, I think you said 9 months into your journey. Is that right?
9 months since the initial idea. Our launch was only 2 months ago. So so 7 months from idea to launch, and then now 2 months and, you know, kind of refining the experience and getting more women to join.
So in that time frame, what has surprised you the most about building the platform or building the community? What's the most unexpected, surprising outcome of all of this so far?
Well, it's funny because I was just thinking about this. So we built in, I wanted to have kind of a gamified aspect to this. First, to make it more fun, because we see in so many fields, gamification leads to more engagement. And at the same time, I also wanted to make sure I had this notion in my head that, you know, lots of people who understood the value of building visibility for themselves were going to pop in and say, like, okay, hype this for me, hype this for me, hype this for me. And that I had to kind of build in a system, a fun system, to also make sure they were focusing on the community, right? On hyping others. But the surprising thing, which, you know, in retrospect, I'm fascinated by the psychology of this. The surprising thing is that so many women are willing to jump in and hype others, and a lot fewer women are willing to ask for their own initiatives to be hyped. So it's kind of interesting because the point system that we created in there, I'm not sure that we are going to even keep that at this point. I'm still testing that out because I am finding that, you know, there's so much more willingness to hype rather than ask for hype, that sometimes we actually need people to get in there and ask for more hype for themselves. To me, this is, like I said, really fascinating, thinking about the psychology of how women tend to have that, like, we're kind of socialized. I don't want to say wired, because I do feel like we're more socialized to do things for others rather than really ask for something for ourselves. And we're also rewarded for being quiet and modest. And, you know, I mean, I certainly was. So saying something like, hey, I'm doing something really amazing, can you all spread the word, is somehow uncomfortable. And so what's shifting for me is that we actually have to break that down a little bit. And how do we, you know, and for me, the answer is always the community, but how do we get to the point where we can get more women to unabashedly ask for something for themselves and talk about their accomplishments and their achievements and want to do that?
Oh, I see an expert series or workshop where you can help people overcome that psychological button in their head that is only used to promoting other people or supporting other people. But maybe that's the difference. When they see themselves supporting other people, that's the word they use, support. But when they see themselves asking for something that they need, they see it as promote. I wonder if it's like, if you think about it from a standpoint of supporting yourself versus promoting yourself, if there could be a change in mentality, but that would be an interesting series. And, you know, I think exactly as you said, you're highlighting a bigger gendered issue, I believe. So I will love to follow this along in your journey to see how it all plays out and how you're able to maybe get more community members excited about sharing their work with the world. Because I think I believe what Oprah says, or maybe it's Marie Forleo, something about the world needs what you have to offer. Mm-hmm. And if you never tell people what you offer, then the world is missing out. So
that's, you know, that's so good. I'm going to like find this quote and I'm going to use it in one of my upcoming newsletters, because I do think that, positioning it as a, like, you're depriving the world of important things that they need to hear from you kind of wakes up our desire to like help again, right? Then it's not about us, then it's about the our audience that's missing out. You know, I feel that so many of us, not, this isn't a blanket statement, but I think so many women are trying to think of like, well, how do I improve the world a little bit? How do I teach something? How do I help? Like, you know, you're doing this. I mean, I've listened to your podcast and I know you're also doing this, like, oh, I want to inspire people who are on the fence. And I want, so I think many of us are guided by this type of purpose that's meant to benefit others. And so to me, having that be like front and center and encourage, I just think there's such a potential for a positive feedback loop there that I want to create.
That's awesome, Paulina. I am so excited about what you're doing. Got two final questions for you. I posted this on my LinkedIn not long ago and I got a really huge response from it. I asked my community, what are you going pro at? Ooh. Not what are you already pro at, right? We know those things that you've accomplished, but like, what are you learning and what are you growing? What skill sets are you focused on today?
Yeah, so I mentioned briefly, you know, marketing is a really big one. And then the other one is really community engagement, because it does look very different when you're a community organizer like this versus a live community where you're just focused on getting people together. And so just understanding, you know, like this concept, I'm starting to do emails to our members. So I just thinking about this concept of like, okay, there's the engagement focused emails and posts and things. And then there are the acquisition focused, which I don't know, this is probably like 101 for you, but for me, I was like, oh yeah, yeah, those are really two very different types of messages, and splitting that up and having to focus on both of those. I'm past the initial, I have no clue, but man, so far from pro, those are the skills I'm really focused on growing. And
yes.
Yeah.
I love framing it up like that, because my bold move this year is becoming a keynote speaker. I want to get up on stage and share what I've learned about making bold moves to a group of people to help inspire and empower them to really go out and write their own stories. And that is a huge bold move for me, you know? Like, I have to learn everything there is to learn about being a keynote speaker and also preparing a keynote speech that's going to resonate with the audience and make people feel really excited. And that's uncomfortable. But when I reframe it to be like, oh, okay, like I'm going pro at this. I wasn't pro when I began my career in content marketing. I wasn't pro at that. You know, right. We all learn the skills to get great at what we're doing. And just because we're pivoting to a new skill set doesn't mean that we can't do it. We just have to keep learning how to get better at it, right? And there's something right. So empowering about that and exciting about that. I mean, maybe that's the best thing about making a bold move, is it's very energizing. It's like yes. This somebody on another podcast episode said scare-sighted, meaning I'm half scared and I'm half excited, right? I think that's the cool part, is like you don't fall into this mundane routine. Everything is so new, which is also frustrating, but also exciting.
I couldn't agree with that more. It is so energizing and so exciting. So to me, when I think about it, like, oh, it's like a roller coaster, right? You're not like scared, like you think you're going to die, but you have that kind of, you know, that buzz. And so, so I try whenever I feel, you know, that discovery, I try to reframe it in that way. And, you know, and to your point, we may not have the actual skills from what we were doing before to bring into what we're doing now, but we do have the skill of learning, knowing that we know how to learn, right? So we in some level, you know, have perfected this, like, oh, I went from zero to X in this other field. Like, I know I have that skill. I know how to get myself from that point to the next.
So good. All right. My last question for all my guests, Paulina, is what do you know about being bold today you wish you knew earlier on?
I love that question. And I think, you know, I've been really alluding to so much of this already. And I think it was this idea, if I could go back and just tell myself, like, you are so much more capable than you know today, and you are able to learn things, and you can trust that, right? You can trust that you'll be able to learn, and, you know, and things are going to be okay. You know, you're not, what was the quote I just read today, which I thought was funny, like something about you're not going to get kicked out of life. Like, even a failure, is not going to be that big of a thing, right? You can work through that. So I think it's that, like, maybe not taking things so seriously, believing that I could be capable of more things and that I could learn more things. That's really what I wish I had told myself earlier.
Your insight made me remind myself that it's all about trusting yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what a bold move is all about. Do you trust yourself enough to just take a chance on something new and brave and seems a little scary and out of your comfort zone? But that's what I think you're saying there, right, Paulina?
Yeah.
Is like, trust yourself. Know that you've got your own back. Like, you're going to be okay. You've learned these things before.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. And in fact, last year, trust was my word, because I felt so like, what am I doing? So I had to keep saying, like, just trust, because, you know, I've done it before. I've figured things out before. I've always made sure I'm okay. And so trust, I can do it again, no matter how many more bold moves I make from this point on.
Amazing. Okay, Paulina, I want to invite all of our listeners today to join me and you in the Hype HQ community. So how can they do that?
Yes, we'd love to have all of you. So just you simply go to hypehq.io. We'd love to have you join now, build some of these relationships, get a community that's going to support you, help you make your bold moves.
What a cool opportunity to get in on the ground floor of a social media community, but that's really all around the same mission of amplifying and hyping people. So you know you have a baked-in support group. So I can't think of a better time to get involved with Hype HQ. So go and definitely join, and you'll see me in there. You'll meet Paulina. So it's going to be a really fun thing for all of us to connect further. And I wanted to say or ask, reviews matter a lot to the growth of this podcast. And as we talked about in this podcast, I'm really hoping that I'm inspiring and empowering you to make your bold moves and also reach other people who need some extra encouragement as well. So if you love today's episode, hype us in the review. Just simply leave the word hype or any other comment that you would love to write us. We read every single one of those reviews and really, really appreciate all your support. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much for reviewing the show and being in this Bold Moves community. We appreciate it a lot. Thank you, Paulina, for being here. I have loved every second of this conversation. We could speak for hours. I'm so glad that you're in my hype community. So thank you for everything that you do.
Oh, then thank you so much. Honestly, I love this podcast and I love the message that you're trying to spread, because I do think that we all need to figure out what our bold move is and really just take the leap and have a community that supports you.